Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, yeah. You hear that, Josh?
What's that? Whose music?
It's a big day.
That's your music.
That's college football music right there.
Well, it's basically your music.
Exactly. EA Sports College Football 25, the early edition. You got to pay like $90 to get it. Comes out today.
I'm already seeing highlights because like a lot of content creators got it. And oh man,
I'm so excited.
It looks incredible.
I don't want to spend too much time on this. I get it's a video game, the whole thing. But like the reason why I'm so excited for this game is for many people, we've had to wait 11 years, especially us college football junkies who, you know, we kept the game. I was not one of them, but kept the game, kept getting updates, what have you, of a game made in 2013, 2014. But now it's coming out. I was watching yesterday all of the, you know, entrances for each team. Mm-hmm. UB had their fight song in theirs, and the Thunder of the East marching band
and stuff like that. Speaking of UB real quick, UB's mm-hmm. getting a little bit of streaming attention.
Oh?
Sketch? That kind of controversial but big-time streamer?
Was he using him?
He played as UB for a few games in some of his streams
there
over the weekend. So UB is getting it out there a little bit.
Very excited. I mean, I when this game came out, I was you know, just entering my teenage years, or when the NCAA Football 14 came out, I was entering my teenage years and stuff like that. And, you know, you somewhat take it seriously, but not really. Like, now I'm, like, sitting here, I'm texting family and friends being like, guys, what school is the first one I'm bringing glory to?
That was the text I got last Monday morning was, who should I play as? And I was like,
who's up first?
And you gave really good options. The options were Wyoming, ECU, Hawaii, UB, and
I also threw, I think, Virginia in there.
Yes. Virginia was right out the door for me.
Yeah, you immediately threw them out the door, which was disrespectful.
I got down to ECU and UB because it's going to be fun as Buffalo fans to bring UB to this national stage, right? Like,
especially with the expanded college football playoff, that the group of five winner being able to be in said playoff. So, you know, look, is it still a long shot? Of course. But with 12 teams now, you can get that national prominence that you couldn't for years, namely with the BCS system where it was 1-2.
Yeah.
And you certainly weren't going to be 1 or 2 because if Boise State wasn't, if TCU when they were, you know, mid-major wasn't, you know, UB was going to have to fight like hell to do so. And then with the 14 playoff, I mean, we were talking about two SEC teams, two Big Ten teams. Like,
right.
It was going to take a serious down year and a serious up year for you. And even then, a lot of things you have to go right. Now, it's a little bit different. It's more exciting. I'm thrilled. You know, a lot of my college football fandom, of course, is locked in with Texas and them being back in this game coming out.
Like, yeah, Josh, but they're already good.
I cannot wait. I'm so excited. Oh, that's the thing. Yeah, I'm going to do.
You want
to
go with
rebuild.
A fun one?
Yeah, I want to try. I want to have some effort be thrown in here.
So you didn't get the early release, did you?
It comes out on Thursday the 18th. I will not get it until Friday. Okay. That is what I'm planning on doing it. I'll then have the whole weekend. I've already explained it to my girlfriend. She thinks I'm an idiot.
You're going to come in on Monday, and you're going to
be a different person.
But you're also going to be out of your mind because you can't win a single game. You can't get a single recruit. You're losing everyone in the transfer portal, and you're just going to screw it. I'm going to just play as Texas.
You say that now. I just
like I just can't wait for that when you just abandon all hope in the first 2 days and you say, you know what, we're just going to play as Texas.
The glory.
Imagine if it's going to be like incredibly hard to, you know, build these teams.
I hope so. I want replayability. The glory I'm going to bring to East Carolina University is going to be
that is your first franchise, right?
You're going to try to get them into a different conference. So move
almost
like
immediately.
That's SEC.
No, that's the key. I'm going to fix the conferences.
Yes.
The Pac-12 will not die in my universe. And the ACC will not have California teams in it because why would they? Real life is worse. So we're going to move Stanford and all those schools out of the ACC. We're going to move USC, UCLA, and Oregon back to the coast. and everything's going to go back to the way it should have been. It's going to be wonderful, and I can't wait.
I can't wait because you're just going to rebuild all my divisions for me,
yes.
conferences for yes. me. Because I, not that I don't know, but it's just like I feel like you as a college football purist, are going to be able to put the nice little Zach Jones touch on it, and I can't wait.
You're going
to
be really
jarred. I can't wait to see this game.
You're going
to
be really jarred when I'm like, we're going to bring back the SWAC. It's going to be a Texas conference. You're going to love it. Plus Oklahoma.
Like, I'm watching a highlight right now, and it's two guys playing as UConn and UCF, like in the middle of a snow game, and it's two super random teams, to be honest with you.
We're back.
But I just love it. Like, it looks so good.
And I'm not much of a video game player anymore. You know, there are games every like year or two that I jump on. When God of War came out, I was a big fan. Red Dead Redemption 2, mm-hmm. Elden Ring, I jumped on that bandwagon for a little bit. Never ended up getting the DLC, but I watch playthroughs. But typically, I've kind of backed away from playing video games, and I have no problem that people do still do that. It kind of stopped being my thing. This is the game where like I've had to like warn my girlfriend. I'm like, I'm just like, just babe, like bear with me. Like, this weekend's gonna be long. It's gonna be a fun one for me, but you're gonna have to deal with it. I'm sorry. Like, just
get a good book. Watch, find a good TV show.
We'll get a good lunch as a break for me, but just bear with me. She thinks I'm an idiot, but she said it with a smile on her face. So I think we're still in the clear, Josh. I think we're still in the clear. But do want to get back to a conversation we were having in the first hour. We, of course, had Nick Mandola on in the 10:30 segment. Wonderful to hear from him as well, talking FC Buffalo, the men's and women's. Women's have they're hosting the national championship coming up this weekend. So that's going to be at Al-Hi Stadium. Check that out if you've got the time. But we were starting out with Jeremy Fowler's exec coaches and scouts ranking of the top 10 quarterbacks in football. Josh Allen came in at third. Mahomes was one. Joe Burrow was two. We took a caller in the first segment as well. Continue to love to hear your thoughts. 803-0550 is the number to call. For me, Allen at third is not as frustrated as maybe I thought I would be. When I first heard about this and I was driving in today, Nate and Joe were talking about it. I thought I'd be more frustrated because, Burrow's ahead of him and blah, blah, blah. I'm at a point now, I hate saying this, but like I do want, I guess, to see more from Allen. I want to see more from this offense. They've shown up a lot in those big moments, especially in the playoff games, but there have been games in the regular season. I mentioned it with the caller. Two games against the Jets with Zach Wilson at quarterback, the Urban Meyer Jacksonville Jaguars. They've had moments, and Allen specifically has had moments, that leave you going, oh, dude, come on. Like, just please. And look, I'm not saying take the stallion out of him. I'm saying take the wild out a little bit.
Right.
And that's my biggest issue with him. But even then, even with some of my minor complaints I have with Josh Allen, they are minor.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's interesting, though, that Joe Burrow would be put second.
Yeah, I've been looking at this list, too, because I've been wondering, what about after them? Is everything else right after them? Mm-hmm. And I feel like yes, because that's the other thing, too. When you talk about sliding around Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, I don't think Joe Burrow goes any lower than three.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Allen goes any lower than three. But when you look at the rest of the top 10, Justin Herbert's at six, C.J. Stroud at seven, Aaron Rodgers at eight, Jared Goff at nine, and Dak Prescott at 10. Aaron Rodgers should not be in this ranking.
He's the interesting one. I'm having almost the problem of who would I put in, though, to replace
right.
him.
And that's what I was just about to bring that up. Would you put Jalen Hurts in there?
I would not put Jalen Hurts in there. I probably would put Jordan Love in this.
I would probably. That's my second choice, too.
Ultimately, I think I'd have him at 10, but I think I would take Aaron Rodgers out. Yeah, I think the last 2 years we've seen from Rodgers have kind of told you there's a little bit left to be desired. And also, and this is a big thing for me, he is 40 years old coming off an Achilles injury.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he gives you his last year in Green Bay, it's not the MVP years. His last year in Green Bay was just over 3,600 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 12 picks, and Green Bay went 8-9.
Yeah.
Now, was he dealing with injuries? Yes. But he was already 39 at that point. He's going to be 40, 41 into this year, coming off that Achilles injury. I get it. He has been one of the most physically talented quarterbacks the game has ever seen. His career is kind of interesting in the sense that if he didn't win a Super Bowl early, how are we looking at him? I think basically he's just Dan Marino of the 2000s. That he's putting up numbers and stats we've never seen before, and yet he's made it to one Super Bowl and lost it. Let's for argument's sake, he loses that game to Pittsburgh. But that's partially even where, I heard it this morning. I know you played a clip from Robert Griffin III that, if he's a top 10 quarterback this year, the Jets win the Super Bowl. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, he was a top one quarterback for years with Green
Bay. And
they
never won anything.
They went to one Super Bowl, won it. They did win it.
Well, okay. Right.
But after that Super Bowl, they were routinely disappointments. Massively mm-hmm. so. The next year after they win the Super Bowl, they went 15-1. They lost immediately in the playoffs at home to the Giants. It's one of the more talented teams in history, and done.
And so to RG3's point, they do have a good team around him. The defense is improving. You obviously have Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams. They're very good. And you have
a good linebacking room as well.
Yep. And you have a good wide receiver in Garrett Wilson. You have an unknown at running back in Breece Hall, but from what you saw of him before he gets hurt, he looks really, really good. So there is enough around him, I think, but I just don't think I don't think Rodgers has enough at all. There's
enough around him for 34 to 37-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
41-year-old Aaron Rodgers, I don't know. It's still Rodgers, he's still good, but a big part of how dominant he was during his era was how much he could move. How him throwing on the run or scrambling around was a death sentence for most defenses. He was one of the greatest improvisers of all time. At 41 years old, coming off that Achilles injury, I can't think you're going to all of a sudden just be that guy, especially in his final season with Green Bay. He wasn't. And Green Bay, we're seeing, it's not awful. They're actually setting themselves up really, really well going forward. And so that is where I have not been able to, much this offseason, really jump on to the bandwagon that I've seen, you know, some betting websites have had and the national media have had of like, all right, the Jets are going to kind of overtake the Bills. The Dolphins might overtake them. Don't get me wrong. The Bills have had bad games against the Jets, and mm-hmm. that's where kind of my worry is that Jets defense specifically gives the Bills offense a real hard time, a real hard time.
Yeah.
But if it goes back to Rodgers is just okay, he's just solid.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They're not as threatening as they were.
Well, and even still, too,
the idea of the Jets is far more intimidating than the actual Jets, I think.
Yeah. And the thing, too, is the Bills' defense didn't get worse. The Bills' defense got better. And if Rodgers is coming in and, you know, he's... I don't even know what to compare him to because we didn't see him last year. So you don't know what he was going to be last season. But if you compare it off 2 years ago, I think the Bills' defense can handle him pretty easily. Yeah, Garrett Wilson might have a big play here and there, or Breece Hall might pop off a big run once in a while. But it's not going to be like, you know, game-dominating Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be he looks shaky. He's not... Sure, he can make a good play every once in a while, but he's inconsistent. And I think that'll be how most defenses can handle him, is just make him be inconsistent.
I think
get
him on the move.
Well, right.
41
years
old, coming off the Achilles injury, yeah. I got to assume he's not going to be as fleet of foot as he was for years.
Yeah, he's not going to be mobile anymore. He's not going to be this running all over the place. I mean, maybe that was part of the reason why he got hurt last year. I understand it was like a weird angle how he was hit and everything in that game against the Bills. But maybe that was just kind of like not a ticking time bomb necessarily, but you never know.
It was with the offensive line.
Right, exactly. And that offensive line hasn't gotten better.
It's gotten older. I mean, there's more experience there, but I can't outright say it's gotten better. And it's just, for me, the Jets, I think the idea of the Jets scares me far more than the actual team.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, could be completely wrong. Aaron Rodgers is one of the most talented quarterbacks of all time. But then I go to the Dolphins, and the Dolphins here.
Yeah.
Tua is not even on this list.
I was going to say, if you expanded this list to all 32 teams, where would Tua be on this list?
I think Tua finds himself around 15.
Hmm.
I think he's almost right
top
in the
15
middle.
Top 15 or 15 exactly?
I think 15.
Okay.
I think that's probably where I would feel comfortable putting him as well, because obviously Trevor Lawrence is not on this list. I don't have the honorable mentions. He could be an honorable mention, but Love is not on this list. Lawrence is not on this list. Hurts is not on this list.
Even Brock Purdy. I mean,
For what it's worth, right?
Yeah. Right. This is a list made up by NFL executives and scouts. So this is what the minds of the front office, if you will, think of these players. And if we as fans or as whatever, you know, media people look at Brock Purdy and go, yeah, he's a system quarterback. What else do you want?
Yeah.
He's surrounded by probably the best offense in the entire league. Mm-hmm. He's just he's an average quarterback.
Yeah.
If that's what we think of him, what do the NFL executives and scouts think of him, right? Like, but still, I think he could be put above Tua in this sense because he can activate that offense. Because it's one thing to say you can be put in an offense and be there. It's another thing to be able to activate it and work with that group.
So you're kind of more leaning into, like, Tua really is the system quarterback. Purdy might offer a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. I think Purdy might offer a little bit more. But then again, we've only seen Tua in one situation. Obviously, we've only seen Purdy in one situation. So we can't fully judge their football IQ, if you will, and see how they would work with other groups of players. Because if you're looking at Tua, yeah, he's got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, but he doesn't really have an offensive line.
And how long is that going to last? I mean, Tyreek Hill's now on the opposite end of 30.
Mm-hmm. Jalen Waddle is going to be great for a long time. Like, well, I don't think.
But I am interested in to see what that's going to be. Waddle's rookie year was a lot of, like, catches, not a lot of yards. They really used him as, like, just a pop screen guy a lot of the time. Just get the ball in his hands and let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Hill has kind of unlocked more from Waddle. If Hill is gone and they don't replace him, which is almost impossible to do, he's one of the greatest X factors the league has ever seen, where are you looking at now? And I think that's the interesting thing of looking at this list and how NFL executives think about it. The NFL executives are telling you they wouldn't pay Tua Tagovailoa $50 million a year.
Right, because every one of the quarterbacks on this list, I think, makes...
Well, is kind of considered those quarterbacks.
Wait a second. There are honorable mentions here down below. I didn't scroll that far.
Okay.
We've got Brock Purdy.
So, yeah, he's on there.
We've got Jordan Love.
Yep.
Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Kirk Cousins.
Oh, okay.
Trevor Lawrence. And Tua Tagovailoa. In the honorable mentions.
So how many was that? Was that six?
That was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yep.
Yeah, so it's six guys. So, yeah, I would put Tua at the lower end of that.
They also have receiving votes as Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. But they probably weren't high enough to be honorable mentions.
Kyler's interesting because I wonder what his perception would be if he had played last year.
Yeah. See, he's
really,
kinda...
we're all remembering the whole, like, is he staying up late and playing Call of Duty and not studying
right.
the playbook?
Right.
Rather than, like, the electrifying player that he was for his first 2 years.
In
just
a way,
on bad Arizona teams, and he kind of does have a bad attitude. I'm not a huge fan of Kyler.
But in a way, too, he's Aaron Rodgers without the history. Because he didn't play it all last year. You don't know what you're going to get this next season. You don't know what the progression is.
Yeah.
And with Rodgers, you just don't know what the regression is rather than progression. Obviously, they're two very different players in different parts of their career. But Murray is this guy coming off of a major injury, but he's young and he has the ability to bounce back. And I don't really know what Arizona's building around him. I can't really tell.
I mean, love the Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right.
pick. I mean,
he was
the most talented player in the draft.
And before Murray gets hurt, he was coming up and coming as one of the young, good quarterbacks in the league. So
Arizona was happy to move off of Josh Rosen the next year because Murray was there.
And it goes to the point of the video games and the how committed is he and things like that. And like I said, you can spin that with Rodgers as well. Obviously, Rodgers is older, but he has a good team around him. But it's continually – this past season was marred by drama and questions of what is his commitment to the game and all this stuff like that. And it's funny that – The only reason Rodgers is on this list is because of his history.
Mm-hmm.
It's not anything in the past five seasons. It's everything before that.
Yeah.
That's why he's number eight on this list. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that frustrates me because I'm not saying Kyler Murray should be on this list, but at the same time, Aaron Rodgers didn't play last year.
Yep. Another name I want to mention, and because I am fascinated by the Chargers, is Herbert. And kind of so his perception in the league is he is the sixth best quarterback in football.
Right.
It is interesting, though, to look at his stats. Obviously, comes out in 2020 as a rookie and lights the world on fire and kind of gets a start seemingly out of nowhere. It takes a Tyrod Taylor kind of freak injury due to the medical staff for Herbert to get in. And then in 15 games played, they're 6-9, but he throws 4,300 yards passing, 31 touchdowns, and 10 picks. He wins Rookie of the Year. The next year, he's a 5,000-yard passer, 38 touchdowns and 15 picks. And then we've seen sort of the regression. In 2022, while they did make the playoffs and lost in horrific fashion, he does throw 4,700 yards, 25 touchdowns, 10 picks. And then last year, even more or less touchdowns, 3,100 yards passing, 13 games played, 20 touchdowns and 7 picks.
I wonder, though, if we can fairly judge him fully
because of
the Brandon Staley situation.
I think the thing for me with Herbert, and you're right to bring up Brandon Staley, I think though the thing with Herbert is he is the ultimate like what if quarterback on social media that I see. Like everything I see with Herbert is, man, if he had Mike McDaniel in Miami offense, like he was supposed to be, like, you know, supposed to be drafted there, you know, he'd already be an MVP quarterback. He'd be better than Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's everything I see with Herbert is because of the Brandon Staley stuff, or the fact that now we're going to go into this year, and while, you know, Harbaugh freaks me out, he's got Greg Roman and basically no receivers.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to hope Ladd McConkey as a rookie is like huge.
Well, I think too, with Herbert, I think the reason those conversations come up is because he has the ability, like, he's shown those skills, right? Like, he's shown he has the ability to make these big throws and make these big plays, but it feels kind of like it's not always his defense, but it felt like the defense was letting him down a lot. And that's kind of Staley's department in terms of being a defensive head coach and things like that. And I really do think he'll excel more under Harbaugh. The problem is you have the giant roadblock of the Kansas City Chiefs in your division.
And
so
really the fact that your team is just not that talented.
Right. They're lacking. They've been like middling, except for last season. They've been middling for so long that you don't have these high-end players to go with your high-end quarterback. It was, okay, we got the high-end quarterback, and we also have the high-end running back, so like we're good, but we're not good enough. That's what it's felt like with his time in L.A.
Yeah, I the way I look at it, though, is always like, do the Chargers scare me? Does Herbert specifically scare me?
There was that one season, the COVID season, where...
Oh, he looked amazing.
Yeah.
Right away, right out of the gate, out of Oregon. Yeah. And he was considered potentially supposed to be a raw quarterback.
I'm sorry, not the COVID season. 2021.
So the 5,000-yard season,
right,
and all that.
Right.
But even those 2 years, you were like, oh, man. Like, all
right, this guy's going to be great, yeah.
I will tell you, though, but at this point, going into year five for him, I'm not that worried. Like, Harbaugh scares me because he does just build winners.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Herbert's the quarterback for him, though. I don't think Herbert fits their style. And so I think it actually is going to be, I don't want to say an ugly marriage right off the gate or right out of the gate, but it does kind of feel like it is not going to be as smooth of a transition, especially because, I mean, we were talking about the Bills needing wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Their number one guy is Ladd McConkey and nothing else after that. Quentin Johnson was a rookie last year, and he was bad.
I think what's important, though, is you look at Jim Harbaugh's history of quarterbacks, most recently being J.J. McCarthy. McCarthy and Herbert are completely different
polar opposites.
They are the exact opposite of each other. So I wonder, one, is that by design? Is Herbert what Harbaugh wanted all along? He just had McCarthy and figured out how to make it work.
Well, you look at in his time in the NFL, and it is much more of, all right, he's got guys like Alex Smith, and then he's got guys like Colin Kaepernick. But his teams have always been run heavy, except when he was at Stanford.
Right.
But even then, he doesn't get Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck is after Harbaugh leaves.
Yeah, because Harbaugh's there 2007 to 2010.
And then it's David Shaw that takes over. He is the one that has Andrew Luck and creates, you know, one of the greatest college prospects of all time. But when he was at Michigan, that was the thing. They ran the ball a lot. That's essentially what they were. Where then when he's in the NFL, it's Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick.
Harbaugh did have 2 years of Andrew Luck.
He had 2 years with him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So because he was from 2007 to 2010. And Luck was there in 2009 and 2010.
Okay, so we did actually get Luck. Okay, so maybe Luck is the guy to look at. The problem is, I mean, that's all the way back. Would you say his first year was 2007?
Well, Harbaugh's first year was 2007. Luck's first year was 2009.
Yeah,
Harbaugh was with Stanford from 07 to 10.
So, yeah, he gets the first 2 years with Andrew Luck.
Yes, yep.
In which Luck in 13 games played in Stanford in 2010, his second year in the year he pops off. 3,300 yards passing, 32 touchdowns, 8 picks. But again, he does it in 13 games because college obviously doesn't play 17 games.
Right.
Is that maybe the template? But even then, you look at the Chargers team, and we're a few years off from that being even a distinct possibility.
Right, and you also look at, that was 14 years ago.
Yeah.
And since then, he's coached many different players in many different ways, mainly being run-heavy teams.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good conversation because if Herbert's not their guy, or if Herbert's not his guy, why would the Chargers go out and get him? It has to be something where he is ready to kind of readapt.
Or it's kind of like what you were saying, he's operating just on kind of what he has. Like, he talks highly about McCarthy. Yeah. McCarthy in college is very good at improvising and making the throws that he needs to. Mm-hmm. Michigan also, though, put up one of the better teams in recent memory. They were undefeated, and they just dominated teams.
Yep.
McCarthy didn't need to throw the ball a lot. I do wonder now with Herbert if it's kind of like, this is my dream boat. He's not even a rookie.
Yeah.
He's had years in the NFL. I just need to build an offense around him. But then
he goes and gets Greg Roman.
And so the Chargers, to me, are just this enigma out in the West Coast. No one really knows about him because of the second team in L.A.
All I hope
don't know about him.
All I hope they can do is beat the Chiefs. That'd be pretty cool.
I do want to talk about some more of these quarterbacks. If you want to join the show, 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.